Turn to the book of Zechariah and chapter 4. I start reading from verse 1. It says, "And the angel talked with me, came again, and woke me as a man is wakened out of his sleep." So here, there's a spiritual thing that happened. The angel of the Lord, it says, that talked with me, came again, and woke me as a man is wakened out of his sleep. Now, it wasn't that he was asleep physically here. It was to wake him up, all right, to spiritual realities. And how does that happen? Put up Psalm 13 and verse 3. Psalm 13, verse 3. David said, "Consider and hear me, my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." So here he says, he woke me as a man is waking out of his sleep. And then in verse 2, that's Zechariah 4:2, "And he said unto me, what seest thou?" So when he woke him, was to see something. And he said, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and then seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And then I saw two olive trees by it, one on the right hand side of the bowl, and then the other upon the left hand side of the bowl." Now, can you put up the images of the olive trees so we can see what he saw? And that's W to me there now. The two olive trees and the lampstand there. So when God opened up his eyes, literally this is what he saw. He saw two olive trees, one on the left-hand side, one on the right-hand side. And what he saw was that the pipes, golden pipes, were connected to the branches there of the olive tree on the left and on the right. And these two pipes came from the olive trees, and they came to the base of it, and there was a bowl that's a container right there. And then you had seven lamps that came out of the bowl. In other words, they were getting, all right, the source there for their light was coming from the bowl. So the olive trees were supplying there, getting to the bowl, and then it was lighting up the seven lamps there. And those seven lamps are those Jewish lampstand. You put the next one that we all might know about. And literally, this is what he was talking about. So it came in, and the seven were lit up. Now, I want to have a picture of what he saw. And then he said, "And so I answered, and he spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou what this be?" In other words, he saw that image, and the angel asked Zechariah, "Do you know what you have just seen, what I've just shown you? Do you understand what that picture is all about?" In other words, I've shown you a picture here, do you get it? He said, he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word," which means this is what God is showing you. "This is the word of the Lord unto you, Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, the interesting thing is that we have all said, it's not by power, it's not by might, and we'll say this, but by the Spirit of God. And what the angel said is, if you understand that statement that you just made, when you say it's not going to be by power or by might, but by the Spirit, then when you said it, that image should have been formed in your mind that that is the image that is the right interpretation to that statement. That if that image doesn't form in your mind when you make that statement, then you don't understand what you have just said or the spiritual reality of what you said. In other words, if I say that I have a red Mercedes-Benz and it's a convertible, what you see is a red Mercedes-Benz, and once I say convertible, you take the roof off because you understand it. Somebody else says the same thing in Portuguese, you don't understand Portuguese, you can't form the picture. In other words, when you hear words and you cannot form a picture, then you don't understand what has just been said to you. So if I place, all right, a red convertible, a red Mercedes-Benz with the roof off, and I ask you, what did you see? You'll say, I saw a red Mercedes-Benz convertible. So if I say, if we show you that image, what do you see? Say, well, I saw two olive trees that I can't really understand. There seem to be pipes there flowing inside. No, that's not what you saw. He said, it's not by power or by might, but by my spirit. That's what that thing says. So if we say, not by power, by might, but by my spirit, and this picture doesn't form inside our minds, then we don't have an understanding. We just said out in the air, yes, 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 no, 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 twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder if you are. Simple. We made a religious statement, not an impactful statement. So I want to explain the dynamics of the two olive trees there, right, with the golden pipes, how this translates into our lives, as not by power, not by might. And then he went on and said, O mountain that is before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Look at what he goes on to say here. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings crying, grace unto it, grace unto it. So he says, we understand this, any mountain before you will be leveled, all right, and become a plain. And you understand that this is how he got it done. That phrase, grace to it, all right, means with a voice of thanksgiving for God's mercy, saying in praise that by God's grace alone was this done. So the person had got this done, all right, by rejoicing and praising God for the grace of God that was available, saying that it was by God's grace alone, that's the method there, this was done. All right? So we have not by mind, but by my spirit, and also saying that it's by God's grace, all right, this was done. And then he goes on and tells us this, who has despised the days of small beginnings, or the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet or the tool in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven that are the seven eyes, all right, of the Lord, which run to and fro the entire earth. So here, first of all, if I go on, it talks about the candlestick there, talks about the lamb, talks about the two olive trees, talks about the fact that not by power, but my mind, but by my spirit, talks about the fact that the man who knows is not by power, by mind, but by my spirit, brought it forth, by rejoicing, saying that, all right, giving God thanks for his mercy, saying that it was by God's grace alone, was by God's grace alone. Now, with this image, we want to see the practice of this, but that's what it was. His song there of praise was to the grace of God. Now, we understood, all right, and I agree with this, what Bishop Butler said, all right, about grace. That grace is a person, and it's the person of the Holy Spirit. Accurate. Because the Bible says Jesus was full of grace and truth. And the scripture also says Jesus was full of the Spirit. And the Bible refers to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of grace. And when the Bible tells us we go up, all right, to the throne of grace, what do we can do there? It says that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So grace offers help in a time of need. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. The exact translation of the word Comforter is Helper. If you look at that scripture, it tells us that let us hold fast to our confession, for we have a high priest that is easily touched by the feelings of our infirmities. So let us come up to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help because of those infirmities. And if you look at Romans 8, it tells us, for the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of grace and the Spirit of truth. And also the scripture tells us when Paul was in trouble, he prayed. And when he prayed, he asked that, he said to them, I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers, all right, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So the help was going to come, all right, from the Spirit of God. So we understand that. We look at it here, that the Holy Ghost there when he says, not by power, but might, but by my spirit. Right? Now, if you turn to Revelation chapter 2, it says this in the book of Revelation and chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, this thing saith he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou cannot bear them that are evil. Thou hast tried them, they that say they are apostles and are not, and found them to be liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake you have labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. It says, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Repent and do thy first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly. And what is he going to do? Remove thy candlestick out of his place, except you repent. So what Jesus said to that church, he said, you had fallen, all right, you should repent and go back to your first works. And he said, you are falling. Now, Dr. Dollar spoke about this, that when you say man has fallen, what he has fallen from is grace. In other words, not as though he just committed a sin and said, you are fallen. No, he has fallen from grace. So he is operating, all right, under works there and under the law there, and he has lost his connection, and this is what he was saying, to God's grace there. He is now on something else. And somebody asked me a few months back, the person asked me, this person close to me, said, why do you, Pentecostal, you Word of Faith people, you are not heavy in terms of, at least visibly now, on all these charity works where, you know, you are doing charitable things because of all Christians and all these things. And I said, look, there is something at the back of the mind of first generation of people, first and second, who received the Word of Faith and this Pentecostal experience. We were taught, and I remember my pastor teaching this in church. We were very small, then 150. He said we should never make the mistake, and this is how the Dark Ages came. The people left the spiritual aspects, right, of church issue in terms of fellowship with God, and they got caught up into what we call charity works there. So they were doing charitable things, all right? And the world lured them into that because the world, you guys are good, and we're doing all that charity, and that's how the Dark Ages came in. We are not doing CSR. We are not an NGO. We're a spiritual organization. Are you following what I'm saying? And we will never leave that. And let me tell you this, Satan has his strategy. He knows exactly what he's doing. The criticism cannot affect anybody, no matter how hard you do it. If you are doing the right things in secret, God will be rewarding you openly. And the Bible says your left hand must know what your right hand is doing. So provided you are doing the right things and it's not visible, God will fight for you no matter how much chatter is going on social media. But here is the problem, and this is what Satan wants. He knows the chatter cannot affect the apostleship and the grace that is on the church, but this is where he can get you. Because the fear of man will lead to a snare, which means you respond in fear and you enter his trap. So in order to prove a point to the world that we are doing it, we do what happened to Israel. The Bible says Satan provoked David. He numbered Israel and then God judged him. He said, who told you to number? So he provokes us and then we come out with our works that we're doing in secret and put it on social media, put it on Facebook, take photographs of us in orphanages, take photographs of all of that, make videos to try to defend ourselves and say, I got you guys now. Because God can't reward you openly again. The Bible says you do your thing before men. He says you have your reward of them. So what begins to happen is that you start having an intellectual bunch that starts saying, well, you know, I really like Covenant Christian Center. You know, they are very good in social work and all of that. They are not like other churches. And you just start feeling happy. Yeah, they like us, they like us. So they went into that and came down. Right? So it's important. So we go back here in Zechariah 1 here. Verse 4. All right, verse 10. For who hath despised the days of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet or the tool in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. And the seven lights, all right, on the seven candlesticks there were the eyes of the Lord. All right? So the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then I answered and said unto him, so he was asking what each one meant. What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left hand side? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches through which the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered and said unto me, knowest not thou what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So here you put that image, you said, there's two trees there, I want to explain this, are the two anointed ones. From, right, they empty themselves and there's oil within these two trees right into it. And when they get there, the oil there, all right, begins to burn, and what you have are the seven eyes of the Spirit. Now, when the Bible tells us that you don't put a candlestick on a bushel, when it tells us you are a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, when it tells us let your light so shine before men, it's talking about the dynamics of this, all right, that they might see your good works and give glory unto your Father that is in heaven. It's talking about a powerful dimension, all right, that is going on in the realm of the Spirit, that once a church comes to, or people of God come to recognition of this, and they operate in this, they level every mountain. They operate in this. It's not by power or by might. Anything they do, they start small. It says it's going to grow, all right? It says the hand of Zerubbabel started the thing, laid the foundation. His hands also shall finish it, because it's the business of Satan when a person lays the foundation there, right, to go in and stop it or to take it. That's why Jesus said, a man, if he doesn't count the cost, can lay the foundation. After that, everything gets stopped. So you have these two things. So I explained everything. And I want to explain in practice what this means to us. So that when we stand up, a man says, I'm going into a project. They say, how will it be done? He says, it's not going to be done by power and might. It's by the grace of God this thing is going to be fulfilled. He knows what he's saying. He says, it's not by power, by might, but by the Spirit. He understands, all right, what he's saying. That is by the power, right, of the Holy Ghost. He understands it. He knows what the seven, all right, candlesticks are here. There's light here, the seven eyes of the Spirit. And he understands that this is how I'm going to get things done. Now, the first thing I want to define here is, what are these two, all right, anointed, these two trees here in our own lives as people? And what they do is that they empty the oil, because that's the most important thing. Because it's the oil that comes in that causes the light to begin to shine. So these two trees, what do they mean? Now, before I get into it, well, I'm getting into it by saying this, but the book of Zechariah, this book, and the book of Haggai are two books, all right, two prophets that were raised up at a certain time. They were rebuilding Jerusalem. And what had happened in Ezra, the book of Ezra, was that God had told them, we know this story, when they went into Babylon, that they were going to spend 70 years in Babylon. After that, they will come out of it. Now, on the 50th year, when they were in bondage, Cyrus was raised by God. And his spirit became stirred about Jerusalem being rebuilt. Now, he was a political leader. However, the timing wasn't right. Okay, what I believe was, he probably was called to start setting the stage and writing the laws that will facilitate that. But he wanted to actualize it, just like it entered into the heart of Moses that through him, the nation of Israel will be saved. He should have waited. The time wasn't right and prepared himself. He tried to actualize it. So what happened was, Cyrus gave them, all right, there was no prayer. He gave them wood, gave them, you know, all the money and finances they needed, so they started building the temple. They laid the foundation of the temple. There were two forms of Christ. Some were shouting for joy. The older generation that had seen the foundation at the beginning said, there is something wrong with this foundation. It's not right. Now, what now happened was, and we'll see this, in the last verse of Ezra chapter 4, it tells us that the same political system used force and power to stop the work of God, this happened, and the work of God then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So he ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, what was the important thing about the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia? What happened was that when he got to the 70th year, Daniel was studying and he understood by books that they had come to the 70th year, and this was the year for the liberation of Israel. So Daniel, all right, in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, of his reign, understood by books. All right, go to the reign of him. Look at verse 1. All right, whose reign? In the first year of Darius. So that work stopped till the second year. But in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, was Ahasuerus that stopped it at the beginning. Now look at verse 2 here. It says, in the reign of Daniel, I understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation. So it was time. So Daniel did the right thing. He set his heart and began to pray unto God. Now Daniel broke through that prince of Persia, because it was Darius, the king of Persia, that was being controlled by the prince of Persia in the realm of the spirit, broke through. And what now happened was that two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, were now raised up. And these two prophets began to prophesy. And as they started prophesying to Zerubbabel, right, and the other person, put Ezra chapter 5 and verse 2. Ezra, okay. Then the prophets, so from 424, he stopped. Then the prophets Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah, in Jerusalem, in the name of God, even unto them. Verse 2. And the Bible says, then rose up Zerubbabel, which we are seeing in Zechariah here, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak. So it was based on prophetic utterances now, not any political thing, that these guys got up and began to build. And the Bible says they were prophets of God helping them. So those guys were prophesying as they were building, they were prophesying, and they kept helping them. Now, the political kingdoms came again to try to stop it, but because there was prophetic power now, they could not stop it. They built it right to the end. Now, these two, all right, olive trees, were the two prophets that were pouring out, all right, the oil, and what was happening was being poured out into the bowl, and these guys were seeing things, and they were now expressing things. Now, here's where I'm getting to here for us today. Now, Dr. Winston kept reemphasizing this, right? Talked about the anointing on the inside of us, who is the person of the Holy Ghost. And he said that's the key to everything. Complete truth. Anointed on the inside of us. Key, all right, to everything there. Now, under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit was not poured upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit was only poured upon the prophets for them to be able to prophesy. Nobody else could prophesy. In the New Testament, Jesus said on the day of that great feast, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and do what? Drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow out rivers of living water. So under the new covenant here, and Moses cried for this day. He said, I wish to God that all the children of Israel were prophets, but the Spirit could not be poured out upon all flesh. Now, Joel chapter 2 and verse 29, it tells us here, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward, not that time, I will pour out my Spirit upon what? All flesh. And your sons and daughters shall do what? Prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. And what will happen? Your young men shall see visions. And upon thy servant and handmaid will I pour out my spirit. Then verse 30. And I will show wonders, which means they start prophesying and they start seeing visions. Then the next thing, I will show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. So every Christian now, all right, can prophesy. That's what I want to establish. The Spirit of God is now poured out upon all flesh. In the Old Testament, it was only poured out, all right, on certain flesh if you were called into a certain office. Now, it's poured out upon all flesh. Whosoever can now speak to the mountain and can prophesy to the mountain, and the mountain will respond, all right, because of the new arrangement that we have with God. Now, having said that, let's get into it. Revelation chapter 11. I'll show exactly what this is talking about. Revelation chapter 11 here. So we understand when we say power of might. Verse 2. But the court which is without the temple leave out, measure it not, for it's given to the Gentiles, and the holy city to tread foot 42 months. He said, I will give power unto my two witnesses. Now remember, the Bible says we should tarry until we are endued with power from on high, after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and we shall be what? Witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, which is slightly over 3 years. Not up to four, just slightly over 3 years. These are the two olive trees, two candlesticks standing before the God of the whole earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. So this is dominion. And devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And they will have power to shut the heavens, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. To see how powerful they are when they are prophesying. All right? That's where the power, all right, of our Christian faith is. Prophetic utterances. I don't show this. Without these utterances, there is no oil being poured into your life.
Thank you for listening.